Welcome back, everyone, to the Deep Dive. Today, we're going to get into something pretty interesting. It's a legal case with some pretty big implications for how we think about paying for our energy future.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so we're looking at a 2009 case out of the Seventh Circuit. It's Illinois Commerce Commission v. FERC. This one really boils down to the question of who pays for those big power lines, and especially when not everyone sees the benefits right away.
Exactly. And I think for folks who are navigating the world of energy regulation, this is a super relevant case. So we're going to break down the Seventh Circuit's ruling. We'll look at all the different arguments and try to understand why the court decided the way it did.
Awesome.
Including some, you know, interesting points where even the judges themselves didn't exactly see eye to eye.
Yeah, that always makes things fun.
It does.
So before we go too deep into the weeds, maybe just to set the scene, let's talk about PJM interconnection. They manage the grid across a huge chunk of the country. I mean, we're talking Midwest and East Coast. So this case kind of highlights this tension between being fair to individual utilities, but also making sure the grid is strong and reliable for everyone on it. So where do we even begin with the facts of this case?
Well, at the heart of it, you have these two ways FERC approved for PJM to share costs. The first was this thing called postage stamp pricing, and that was for existing power lines.
Yep.
Think of it kind of like a flat rate shipping fee, you know? You pay the same whether you're sending something across town or across the country.
Right.
So all the utilities in the PJM region paid their share based on how much electricity they sold, not necessarily how much they used specific lines or, you know, where they were located.
Gotcha. So just like sending that letter, you pay based on the weight, not the distance.
Precisely. Now, the second method, this is where things get a little spicy. It was called pro rata sharing. And it was for any new high voltage lines. We're talking 500 kilovolts or higher. This rule said every utility pays an equal share for these massive projects, again, regardless of how much they actually use them. And that's where we get to our main character in this story, Commonwealth Edison or ComEd.
Yeah, this is where it gets juicy.
Yeah, so under this pro rata rule, ComEd was looking at a bill for about $480 million. This was for something called Project Mountaineer, a brand new high voltage line being built all the way over in the east.
Wow.
And here's the kicker. ComEd was only projected to get maybe $1 million in direct benefit from this almost $500 million investment.
Okay, yeah. That doesn't sound like a great deal.
No, not at all.
So naturally, this raises the question, why should a utility like ComEd have to pay so much for infrastructure so far away that doesn't really benefit them directly?
Yeah, that's the million-dollar question, isn't it? You know, at its core, this is about fairness. You know, why should costs be imposed without a clear link to benefits? And this is exactly why the Illinois Commerce Commission, representing utilities like ComEd, decided to challenge FERC's decision. And that challenge led them straight to the Seventh Circuit. Now, the judges had to untangle some pretty fundamental legal principles here.
Right. So what exactly were the legal questions that the Seventh Circuit had to figure out? What were the biggest points of disagreement?
Well, there were two main issues. First, they looked at FERC's postage stamp method for the existing transmission lines.
Okay.
So the question there was, did this approach, this idea of spreading costs regionally, no matter who uses, what did that line up with this concept of cost causation? In other words, did the utilities pay in a way that reflected the costs they were actually putting on the system?
Right, right. Makes sense. And what about that second legal issue?
Okay, so the second one was about that pro rata rule for the new high voltage lines, the ones that are 500 kilovolts and up. The court had to figure out if this equal share cost allocation was fair, especially because we know the benefits weren't distributed evenly, you know, like with that ComEd example we talked about.
Right. So did the Seventh Circuit come down on one side or the other?
Well, they actually made kind of a split decision. They upheld FERC's postage stamp pricing for the existing grid.
Okay.
The reasoning there, which we can get into later, had to do with some economic ideas around marginal cost pricing.
Gotcha.
But, and this is important for our listeners, they struck down that pro rata rule for those new 500 kilovolt lines.
Interesting.
Yeah, the court basically said FERC didn't show enough evidence to say that Midwest utilities like ComEd would benefit enough from these new lines to justify making them pay such a large chunk of the cost.
Mm. So it sounds like the court was saying, hey, FERC, you can't just make Midwest utilities foot the bill for infrastructure that mostly benefits other regions. Is that basically what they were getting at?
That's a great way to put it. They essentially felt FERC hadn't shown a strong connection between the cost and the benefit for those Midwest utilities, especially when it came to these specific high voltage lines.
Gotcha. Okay, so let's get into the why. Why did the court decide this way? Why were they okay with one type of cost sharing but not the other?
So when it came to the existing lines, the court bought into the logic of marginal cost pricing. The idea there is that when you're looking at infrastructure that's already built, you only look at the extra cost that comes from using it. You know the marginal cost.
Okay.
You don't factor in the original investment, like the money that's already sunk into it. The court thought this was a sound economic approach and that it wasn't unfair to the utilities.
Yeah, that makes sense. You don't want to discourage people from using something that's already there by adding on all these extra costs. So what about those new lines? That's where the real debate was, right?
Right. Now with the new 500 kilovolt lines, the court, and especially Judge Posner, in his majority opinion, really pushed back against FRC's reasoning for that equal cost sharing. Judge Posner really hammered home this principle of cost causation.
Okay, and remind us what that means again.
Basically, he said that electricity rates have to reflect the cost that's actually caused by the party who's paying. And that's a really big deal in regulatory law.
Right. Okay, so in the ComEd case, the court just didn't see that link between what they had to pay and what they were getting out of it.
Exactly. Judge Posner specifically pointed out that FRC hadn't shown any hard data or evidence to prove there was a relationship between that $480 million cost to ComEd and the measly $1 million in benefits they were supposed to get. FRC just saying, hey, this will improve reliability for everyone, wasn't good enough for the court. They called those claims arbitrary and capricious.
Ooh, that's a big legal term, right?
Oh, yeah. You'll definitely want to remember that one if you're studying administrative law. Basically, the court was saying FERC had to back up its decisions with proof, not just general statements.
I see. So FERC couldn't just say, trust us. They had to show the work, so to speak.
Exactly. They needed hard data that directly linked the cost to the benefit for each specific utility. And this is a big takeaway for anyone interested in regulatory law. Agencies have to support their decisions with solid evidence.
That's a really good point. So it seems like the majority opinion was all about that direct cost-benefit relationship for each individual utility. But I think there was another opinion that looked at it a little differently.
You're right. Judge Kudahy wrote a partial dissent. He agreed with the majority about the postage stamp pricing for the existing infrastructure, but he disagreed about striking down that pro rata rule for the new lines.
Interesting.
His main point was that those big high voltage lines, they're the backbone of the whole grid. He said that everyone connected to PJM benefits from having those strong lines, even if the benefit isn't always super obvious or easy to measure.
Gotcha. So he was thinking more about the health of the system overall, not just each individual utility's bottom line.
Exactly. He was worried that if you demand this super precise cost-benefit analysis for every utility, it might actually slow down the development of important projects. And that could hurt the grid in the long run.
So he was prioritizing the need for a strong and reliable grid, even if it meant some utilities had to pay more upfront.
That's a great way to sum it up. He basically argued that being part of a well-functioning grid is valuable in itself. So sharing the cost of keeping it running smoothly is fair, even if the benefits aren't perfectly equal right away.
That's a really interesting perspective. It highlights that tension between fairness to individual players versus the overall good of the system. What a tough balancing act.
It really is, and you see that tension playing out in this case. The majority opinion focused on that direct cost-benefit link, while the concurrence emphasized the bigger picture, the idea that everyone benefits from a strong grid, even if it's not always clear how.
Fascinating. So for our listeners out there who are in law school, what are the big lessons from this case? What should they take away from Illinois Commerce Commission v. FERC?
I think there are three key takeaways here. The first is about cost causation. The court really emphasized that regulators have to show a clear connection between the costs and the benefits when they're setting rates.
Okay, that makes sense.
The second takeaway is about how much scrutiny courts give to agencies. Agencies like FERC can't just make decisions without backing them up with hard evidence. They have to show their work, so to speak, because courts are going to be looking very closely. They have to be able to defend their decisions with facts and logic.
Right. And that goes back to that whole arbitrary and capricious standard.
Right. Exactly. Now, the third takeaway is all about the challenges that come with changing energy markets. As we move towards more deregulation, it gets harder to figure out how to pay for shared infrastructure like transmission lines.
Right, because it's not so clear-cut who owns what and who benefits from what.
Exactly. And that means regulators and policymakers have this tough job of balancing fairness to individual companies with the need to keep the whole system running efficiently.
Okay, so let me try and put this all together. For someone who's just starting out in law school, Why is this case important? Why should they care?
This case is a perfect example of how courts review agency decisions. It shows how important it is for agencies to justify their actions with solid evidence. It's also a great lesson in statutory interpretation. You know how courts interpret and apply laws like the Federal Power Act?
And that marginal cost pricing concept. That's something they'll definitely need to understand, right?
Yeah.
Absolutely. It's fundamental in utility regulation. And finally, the fact that this case got sent back to FERC, that shows us that even with huge, complicated projects, agencies can't skip the hard work of analysis and evidence-based decision-making.
It's all about dotting your I's and crossing your T's.
Precisely.
Awesome. So really, it all comes back to that question of balance. How do we make sure the costs are fair for individual utilities, but also keep the whole grid strong and working for everyone?
Exactly. And as we move towards more renewable energy and start modernizing the grid, this balancing act is only going to get tougher. And that's why cases like Illinois Commerce Commission v. FERC are so important. They give us a framework for thinking about these complex issues.
And with that, I think we've given our listeners plenty to chew on. So for all of you deep divers out there, here's a final thought. As we're pushing for all this new renewable energy and building a smarter, more resilient grid, how do we balance that idea that you pay for what you use with the need to build big infrastructure projects that might not benefit everyone equally at first? That's something to really ponder. And Illinois Commerce Commission v. FERC offers some really valuable insights for navigating those tough questions. Thanks for joining us on The Deep Dive.
Thanks, everyone.
We'll catch you next time.
See you then.